just you and me forever.
Do you take this woman as your lawful wedded wife?
Ooh, yeah!
Oh, no.
Place the ring on her finger and repeat after me. With this ring.
With this ring.
I thee wed.
I thee wed.
Hello and welcome to With This Ring, episode 54. I'm your co-host, Ryan Everett.
And I'm Cindy Everett.
And this month we are, as is the time of year, WrestleMania season.
Tis the season.
Yeah, so we'll be looking at WrestleMania 15, the Raging Climax.
Wait, what was it called?
Yep. The Raging Climax.
Really?
Yep.
I did not know that. Why? Who thought that was a good idea?
Well, probably Vince Russo and Vince McMahon. Because sexual puns are attitude.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty overt. It's not even very punny.
No. Of course, when, like, Sable's in front and center and all the ads for it.
Gotcha. Gotcha. It's a different time.
Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't see that nowadays.
No. No. Anyways.
Yep. But, so, as always, WrestleMania, a lot of storylines packed into it.
Right.
We want to blow off a lot of stuff, start new stuff. So, when we last left, it was The Rock had finally defeated Mankind in a ladder match. So it was set for WrestleMania, Steve Austin versus The Rock.
Right.
Which really had been building, like, since Survivor Series, when The Rock became the corporate champ.
Not the people's champ anymore.
Right, yeah. So, in the build-up then, for the next few weeks, it was kind of, well, Vince McMahon first made The Big Show the guest referee for that main event.
Right.
But then Mankind argued that he should be in it because he had his main event match taken away from him. So they decided those two are going to have a match to see who gets to be the guest referee.
A lot of matches to determine what happens in the match.
Yes, yes.
But when we get to the show, another twist.
Yes.
We'll get to that, obviously.
Yes. So those are, like, kind of the two of the bigger matches. And also at this time, the corporation and the ministry are starting to feud.
There's too many little factions, I gotta say.
Yeah, it's getting confusing. Yeah, especially with, like, the Undertaker's the devil, but is he the face because he's facing Vince McMahon?
Right. And then, just, you know, when the Triple H match happened, they were all kind of double-crossing each other. It's like, I don't know who's on what side anymore.
Yeah.
But anyways.
So the Undertaker starts talking about how he's gonna own the WWF, and he, like, lights a teddy bear on fire.
Oh,
they keep making references to her, so they're talking about, like, Stephanie.
Gotcha.
And he's, like, gonna go after her or something.
Well, that's not safe.
No. And so that starts that feud and gets the Boss Man involved with it. But the problem is the Boss Man's, like, fifth on the death chart from the
from the corporation.
From the corporation, but so he's the best they got.
Who's in the corporation right now? The Rock?
Rock. Big Show.
Big Show.
Vince.
Yeah, Boss Man.
Yeah, I mean, Boss Man, Kane.
Oh, great. Okay. All right, yeah.
Ken Shamrock.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, a little bit of a motley crew there.
Yeah. And then, also, we have the Hardcore title and the Intercontinental title, and for no reason, like, 2 weeks before WrestleMania, they had the Road Dogg win the Intercontinental title from Val Venus, and Billy Gunn won the Hardcore title from Hardcore Holly, even though it was both of the Outlaws were, like, in the separate divisions.
Okay.
Like, Billy Gunn had been fighting for the IC title, Road Dogg was the Hardcore champ, and now they're having in separate spots.
Yeah, I feel
just
like they missed an opportunity.
Just to do it.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
But tell me about what you were doing in March of 1989.
So, this day, somehow, I was voted our 7th grade, we've been 7th grade basketball team's best free throw shooter.
Okay.
So I had to go to the All-Star game and shoot free throws, and I, like, purposely got, like, missed, like, I got, like, 3 out of 10. I was like, alright, let's go.
You had to be a priority, so I've heard the story. I realize this was the day.
Yep, and then, went to 55th and Mayfield, and
nice.
Watch WrestleMania 15.
Where you wanted to be in the first place.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't want to shoot free throws.
Were these like these are pay-per-views, right?
Yeah, so. Yeah. This was a big pay-per-view. This was, I think, the first one that the Mankiewicz family had.
What? How
much Uncle Frank got it.
Nice, nice. How much did they cost? Do you remember?
At this time, WrestleMania was probably either 35 or 40.
Jeez, that's so cheap. I mean, I think you could have said like 100. I would have believed you.
No, these were.
Wasn't that popular.
Yeah, I mean, only like big boxing fights could. Even then, they really didn't do 100 yet.
I don't know. It just seemed like on the cheaper side.
So also back in 1998 still, so.
99. Yeah. Gotcha.
All right. The document's called 98 Dojo. That's why I keep getting screwed up.
Okay. Okay, so I'm looking at my notes now for the lead up. It was like,
yeah.
Steve Austin comes out in the beer
truck. Yeah, so, pretty funny. Yeah, because The Rock and Vince had this long promo, and Steve Austin just comes out in the beer truck, in the ring, and then the spraying the beer is pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I like how he always has his. What? When was this? When was the milk? Was that after this?
Yeah, that okay. is kind That's of like a ankle. Shot at this.
Gotcha.
Yeah, this was the first, though.
Okay. And then there was something, you're like, we should just talk about that in the podcast, like a match in like a frat house.
Oh, yeah, so.
Tell me about that.
Okay, so, like 3 weeks earlier, Dr. Death Steve Williams, who, we gotta go into the whole Brawl for All thing also.
Okay, do we?
Yes, because it all ends with Butterbean getting, knocking out Bart Gunn.
Oh, okay.
So in 1998, in like the summer, they decided to do this thing called the Brawl for All. And it was boxing, but like also you could do takedowns.
Hmm.
So it was kind of MMA, but not really, because there weren't like submissions. And it was a shoot thing, like it was for real. And everyone thought that this new guy that they signed, Dr. Death Steve Williams, was going to win it, like, legit. Because he had been, like, a high school wrestler, and everyone always said he was the toughest guy in wrestling. And he got knocked out by Bart Gunn.
Okay.
And, like, tore his hamstring while falling down and was, like, out for 8 months. He finally comes back, and the gimmick is him and JR are... JR is all bitter because he got kicked off of broadcasting.
Why did he get kicked off of broadcasting?
Because of his Bell's palsy.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it was, I mean, he couldn't do the paper, like, he wouldn't have been able to do it. So now they're making a storyline out of it.
I was going to say, okay, I noticed when he came back, they were like, oh, welcome back.
Yeah.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah, then at WrestleMania, they luckily just dropped the whole stupid storyline and just had him be the announcer, like he should have been. So, yeah, so there was a couple of weeks where JR was doing, like, rogue commentary. Like, one time he had a commentary table right in front of the other announce table. He kept talking about, like, how he was going to put his cowboy boot up Michael Cole's ass and all that fun stuff.
Way.
Yeah. But then they were decided to have a frat party in his honor at this frat house, like, but near where Raw was. I think it was Syracuse.
Okay. Wait, so just like part of a gimmick, you mean?
Yeah, like, just...
Have a frat... Okay,
the frat probably was voting like, hey, we want to do a Raw party or something.
Gotcha. So who was there wrestling?
It was Dr. Death and Hardcore Holly.
Gotcha. Is Dr. Death a reference to the Dr. Kevorkian?
No,
he that was kind of happening around that time.
Right? Yeah, but he had used it like in the early 80s.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
So, no?
He had dibs on it before. Dr. Kevorkian.
Okay, well, Bill, so I should tell him. Yeah, that seemed odd. Although, I guess they've done, I'm thinking of the match in, like, the Hart's basement.
Yeah.
I think they can do off-site matches.
Yeah, and it wasn't even really a match. It was just more of a fight.
Okay.
Like, they didn't have to worry about pinfall or any.
Gotcha.
All right. But oh, and then.
There's The Rock. We watched The Rock versus The Big Show. With Mankind as a ref. What were the stakes with that one? Anything?
No, Steve Austin versus The Big Show.
Oh, I put Rock. Whoops.
No, Rock was on commentary.
Okay, I knew he was there. Oh, yeah, I wrote Rock versus Big Show, then I wrote Steve wins. So, clearly. Steve Austin, I mean.
So this was big, because this was The Big Show's first match on TV since he had debuted. So it was a pretty big deal, and it's kind of weird that they have him lose clean to
yeah.
Steve Austin in his first match in the company.
That's a big ask. Why did yeah. they come up against like Jeff Jarrett or some scrub or put him over?
Don't know.
I think that's what Jeff Jarrett's used for.
Really, yes. Kind of like... Yeah, that's his role.
Exactly.
The other guy's bigger. But yeah, so that's kind of an odd build. But then they do end with The Rock hitting a rock bottom and standing tall, heading to WrestleMania. So
yeah,
that was good at least.
Yeah. Excuse me. All right, then we go to the actual show. Then we have our perennial starter. I feel like Al Snow.
Yes. Yeah, Al Snow is.
He was the first match at the Valentine's Day match. No, that was Goldust. Yeah, it was the second match.
Wow. Yeah, or it's always early in the card, though.
Yeah, I'm noticing a pattern now after yeah. watching 1999 and 1998. Seeing a little bit of a common thread on
yeah.
placement here. It's short and sweet. Yeah, it was Al Snow, Hardcore Holly, and Billy Gunn.
Yeah, Billy Gunn gets the crowd pop to yeah. start the show. And
he was the Intercontinental Champion, you said?
No, Hardcore.
Hardcore. Yes. There's no title belt on the line for this one.
No, there is. It was okay. The Hardcore title match.
Oh, Hardcore Holly won.
Yep, with a chair shot.
Yep. There was a hockey stick, there was Gatorade, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, yeah, all the good stuff.
So, that is very distinct, I think, with this time of wrestling. It's not technical.
No.
It's not a lot of high flying, it's just a lot of running around and pulling stuff out.
and wait till they start getting the kendo sticks under the ring all the time.
Right, oh, okay. So, nope, short and sweet. Start of the match, start of the show.
Yep.
Brian.
Yeah, nice little quick match.
Mm-hmm.
Gets the crowd going. That's kind of what this crowd has been trained to, like, 7 or 8 minute matches, not gotcha. A 15 minute
Yeah, you can't weapons run people fight. At that yeah. right away.
And then next, though, this is just Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett, who have been good tag champions on, like, the TV. They were having good challenges every night, like, every week on Raw. And then they have a battle royal before the show.
Right, we didn't talk about that.
Where the last two guys will face
Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett. Tag team.
But they eliminate, like, all the good. They could have had a tag team. I mean, even the Hardys were in it. Like, they were young. An actual
tag team?
Yeah, or, you know, there were plenty of guys. They got, and then they got to get D'Lo Brown in there. Have the Godfather in D'Lo, because right. they were Nation members. You know, they could
have done something.
There's no reason to shoehorn Test in there.
Yeah, why do they want Test involved?
Ugh, that's
he wasn't there long for very long, was he?
He does have actually a kind of big 99.
Oh, okay. So
we'll see more of him. Yes, yes. This is a test. Test.
Okay, all right.
So, yeah. But, yeah, this match, I mean, it only gets 4 minutes anyways. It's kind of like...
Whatever.
Why don't you just get, like... LOD was in the Battle Royale. Just have them out there. They could do the same exact match. They could still lose in 4 minutes.
I'm fired up about this.
Well, it's just stupid. Like,
And they bring their ladies. I forget.
Ivory and Deborah.
That's right.
Get involved. And...
just kind of felt forced.
Yeah.
Like, why? Yeah. Like, why did they do this?
Like, D'Lo Brown was that hot with this feud that it had to be him. He couldn't have...
Or they could have gotten a better partner. I like the yeah. idea about the Godfather.
Yeah.
That would have worked a lot better.
Or any other... There's plenty of faces in that. Battle Royale, I'm sure. Well, like, almost everyone's part of a team.
Okay, calm down. Okay, it's over. The F3-8 4-minute match. Well, next match.
Yes, now this is...
We'll look into the counts on speed. Wikipedia and... I you know what? I don't know if I'm just, like, misremembering. I swear I've heard of Butterbean before.
Yeah, he probably did.
Really?
He was, like, big in, like, 90s.
Yeah, I think
like
he was late definitely 90s, the like, national contest.
He was, like, a guy you had seen, like, the weird video, like, the Virtual Fighter Tough Guy games and stuff.
Yeah, I wasn't
like,
playing those.
No, but you'd see, like, commercials and stuff, because he had the USA tights.
Yeah.
You probably, yeah.
1999, I was going to school and then going to the marching band and... watching Seinfeld and Friends after school. Oh, so.
You saw commercials for both of me.
Yeah, and he was in the ether. But like when I saw him, I was like, that guy looks vaguely familiar to me.
I mean, he's memorable looking, so.
Right. So this is...
yeah, wait,
so
I
who's this guy? What's the brawl for all?
So it was... Keep yeah, so it was this tough man contest, and like, unbeknownst to everyone, Bart Gunn, like, actually could knock people out. He wins all of his matches, or, like, three of his matches by knockout.
Okay.
So he is really good at this, but they had no idea what to do with him, so...
Oh, yeah.
As soon as he loses, or wins it, he's sent to New Japan, or All Japan, for, like, 6 months. Does nothing, and then comes back for this.
Hmm.
And then gets knocked out, and so he can't even, like... do anything with that, so
right.
He kind of just goes away.
You're like, okay, we had no end game with him. See you later. Yeah, and where did Butterbean come from?
So Butterbean, he first came in 97, and he fought Mark Mero in a worked wrestling boxing match, you know, like, where they're not throwing real punches and whatnot.
Gotcha, okay.
But...
A Mark Mero style.
But for some reason, when they signed him to a two-match contract, so they needed to get that extra match out of him.
Oh.
So that's how they did it.
He might have had a pretty good return per second on that contract.
Yeah.
Because right away, like, he kind of, like, got off his balance that he, like, hit.
Yeah, right away, like, he realized, like, I'm actually, I mean, neither of them are, like, super trained boxers, but Butterbean had enough training that
right.
he could, like, know how to do it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, he got, like, in one good... He landed, like, one really good punch, and I'm like, well, this isn't gonna bode well, and then chonk, and, like...
Yeah, the first knockdown was something, and then the next one, the uppercut just smoked. And
it was like a cartoon.
It was, like, yeah, you see his eyes just roll up.
And then a chicken runs out.
Yep.
Because why not?
Yeah, it's WrestleMania. I think they were probably expecting this to go at least
a little bit longer.
Without... It just being, like, video of Bart Gunn being knocked out.
Yeah, they showed the replay a lot. Well, because they had to fill some air time.
Oh, I shouldn't mention, before the match, they announced the judges, and it's Gorilla Monsoon's last public appearance. He's lost a lot of weight since the last time they saw him, but he gets a nice standing ovation.
Aw, good. Good for him. Yeah, and then we don't know who the chicken is, though, at this point, right?
No, it's just the San Diego chicken.
What they call them?
Well, those, like, one of the first mascots.
Wait, what?
Yeah, the San Diego Chicken.
Mascot for what?
I think it was Padres games or something.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the first mascot, so it could go anywhere it wants now, I guess.
All right. Okay, so Chicken runs out before confused, like me, where I'm confused. Then Chicken runs away. And then it's the Big Show, Mankind.
Yep.
Here the stakes is the winner gets to referee...
The main event.
But
which makes you part of the WrestleMania main event. So I guess Earl Hebner is, like, the biggest WrestleMania main eventer ever.
Right, yeah. Yeah, but he is. That's like Ruthie Cohen being the character on Seinfeld seen the most outside the four. She's the Earl Hebner.
Yes.
He's the Ruthie Cohen.
I can say that.
Yeah.
Which he ended up... getting busted for selling bootleg Seinfeld merchandise.
I think the analogy ends there. Yeah, Mankind wins via DQ.
Right, because the Big Show just starts destroying him with chairs, including a pretty nasty choke slam.
Yeah.
Through two chairs. I mean, there's, like, no way to protect your kidneys there. Like,
yeah, I don't know how Mankind is still functioning as a person. How old is he now?
59. He wants to have a match when he's 60.
Oh, gosh. He's going to be like a... Terry Funk out there. Does Terry Funk have, like, a grandkid that he could, like, partner with?
Probably.
I know, that's why I said it.
Yeah.
Do a dumpster match. I'm sure he'd love it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so then, yeah, so it's a very short match, and then, of course, Vince gets out, comes out.
Vince is very upset.
I don't know, man, this stick's already getting kind of old. I think it's going to be a lot more in 1999 of, like... evil
corporate intrigue.
And, like, seven different factions that keep turning on each other.
Yeah, it's... Okay. Yeah.
All right.
See, it turns up the soap opera elements quite a bit.
Yeah. So then, of course, he gets punched by the Big Show.
Yeah, so Vince lays down the law to the Big Show and slaps him, and Big Show knocks him out.
Yep. Where did Big Show come from? Did he come up through, like,
He was in WCW.
Oh, that's right.
Like, his first match was... Well, before his first match, he had a sumo monster truck match. And then later that night, his match against Hulk Hogan was, like, his first, second professional match.
WCW's so dumb, but awesomely.
He was like pushed to the moon and became a great wrestler there. And probably like 97 was like the height of his mobility and like having the right ring presence.
Gotcha. Where was he on your top 100 wrestlers? Did he make the list?
I don't think he did.
Really?
Yeah. He doesn't have a lot of good matches.
I know, but there's 100.
Yeah. There's a lot of good matches.
Who was number 100?
I'd have to
look it up. You don't have to look it up. Let's keep going. All right, then we got the Road Dogg and Val Venus and Goldust.
Yeah.
And Ken Shamrock. Pretty quick. Once again, there's kind of like a wide range of talent in this match.
Yeah, that's just not.
And Ryan Shamrock, Ken Shamrock's fake sister girlfriend.
Yeah.
And Blue Meanie are out there just kind of like getting in the way.
Yeah, it's just a mess, really. Like, the IC title is used to having like these classic matches at WrestleMania, and it has Ken Shamrock and Val Venus getting eliminated 4 minutes into a 9-minute match. This one,
do you?
Yeah, this is not great at all.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I have nothing else to say about it.
Yeah.
But Ryan Shamrock, I mean, bless her, but she's not really an actress.
She's not meant for this role. This is not a lot.
You're right.
This is over her head.
Yes. I mean. Yes, I agree with that. She's trying, though.
Yeah.
I'm still not sure why the Blue Meanie is a thing.
Yeah, he was one of those things that was popular in ECW
when
they
right.
got, and then it didn't translate. So they're kind of just stuck with him.
Are we ever going to do an ECW month?
Not really.
No? Not enough?
I mean, we kind of could. I don't know.
Just an idea.
Yeah.
I really don't need to see more than Blue Meanie.
No.
No. Okay. Then we got Triple H versus Kane.
Yep. So this one had been building for a while because, of course, first China turned on DX to join the corporation, started paling up with Kane, and then
what about her and Mark Henry? Speaking of, where is he?
He had his knee injured at
Valentine's
Day Massacre, so he's on the sidelines. Because I think that's what they wanted to do for the tag titles here, but it kind of would have been dragging on if they went all the way to this.
Gotcha. So the chicken comes out.
The chicken
is Pete Rose.
Yep, Pete Rose is the chicken trying to get his revenge from last year when Kane tombstoned him.
Right.
And he gets tombstoned again.
So yeah, I said, for this match, I said, Kane is so slow and Triple H is okay.
Yeah, it's like,
I'm kind of biased, I feel like, at this point.
Yeah, I mean, but Kane's just not very good. Like,
no.
He tries to dive over the top rope and it's not, doesn't work very well. It kind of looks like someone's somersaulting over the ring, like, tentatively.
Yeah,
and it goes on. It should have been, it's 11 minutes. That's the second longest match on the card. That's crazy.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That is crazy. Shorter than the Hell in a Cell one? Yep.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, that's good, but. So, yeah, I mean, it goes on quite a while, and it just ends with a DQ as China comes out and turns back to DX.
Yeah, like I said, it starts to get confusing.
Reunites with Triple H.
And it's like, hey, we're together again.
Yeah.
But, okay. Fine. Like I said, I think I could build this one up in my head a little too much.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's going to be a big main event, but these were all just okay. Like, when we get to our top two, I'm going to have a hard time thinking of a second one.
Well, one that I don't think will be in the running was Sable versus Tori.
No.
As Tori comes out in some weird cat suit.
Like, odd bodysuit. But who is this other woman at the end?
So, this is Nicole Bass.
Okay.
Another ECW alumni. And someone who had been on Howard Stern a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, because he thought she was a man and stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure she gets that a lot.
Yeah, it wasn't great treatment for her.
Oh, yeah. Is she okay?
No, she's very dead.
Oh, okay.
So, no.
Kind of had a feeling
that
was going to be a happy ending.
But, yeah, and this match itself is not a happy ending. It's 5 minutes of
it's long.
It's a very long 5 minutes.
And then Nicole comes out and does a full-on body slam.
Yeah.
Tori, so Sable.
Sable gets the easy one.
Sable's another person I think is in a little bit over our head.
Yeah, Sable was, the heel persona was a good idea, but it's not being used properly.
What would you have done differently?
I don't know. It just wasn't clicking.
Wasn't working for you.
I don't think they had another female that could, like, play against her, so.
That's true. Well, gotta work with what she got, I guess.
Yep.
So does she ever, like, appear again, or is she just, like, one and done? Nicole Bass.
Well, oh, she's with Sable for a little bit, but there's not a lot of Sable left.
Gotcha.
So.
Okay, well, she'll be other mediocre women's matches to take
place. Oh, yes. Yeah. We got Ivory now.
Okay, good.
And then...
Okay. Yeah, we've talked at all about the Mean Street game.
Yeah, so...
Mean Street Posse.
Shane McMahon, after winning the European title on Raw, started talking about how he was from the mean streets of Greenwich.
Yes.
And they had these great promos with the Mean Street Posse of Rodney and Pete Gass, who were his real friends from, like, high school, who lived in Greenwich. And they, like, started hanging around. And they end up hanging around for, like, 3 years and become...
Oh, really?
Like, trying to become wrestlers and even go down to Memphis and stuff.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so it's quite the...
They had nothing else to, like...
Well, I mean, they were probably, like, 25.
That's true.
So
what else? Do it.
Yeah, you'll live in Greenwich. I think your family's doing okay if you want
to... Take a year off to go try to be a wrestler.
Yeah, why not?
That's true. All right.
So, yeah, and they started hanging out, and since this was close enough Philadelphia, you know, it makes sense that the Mean Street Posse would be there.
No? Yeah, there was, like, four of them, right?
You just named two people. Well, the two main guys stick around for a while.
Okay.
And then there's two others that are kind of...
Friends.
Yeah, and one of them looks like one of their dad's football coach or something.
Some people just age differently.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And then Test comes out again.
Yeah, Test is with Shane, but, I mean, it makes sense. He needs someone with him, and Test is, like, the least... he's done the least tonight, so...
That's true. And, like,
what's... Like, Ken Shamrock wouldn't make sense, because he's such a nutty... snap and kill people, so...
So I guess you gotta get the most chill member of the corporation.
We'll just, you know, whip X-Pac with the weightlift, though.
Yeah, well, I always love X-Pac, you know
that.
Yes, like I said, I'm kind of disappointed. Kind of got my biases and biases. Big X-Pac fan since he was the 1-2-3 kid.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's kind of... I'm surprised you said you'd have trouble with the top two matches.
Oh, that's true.
I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah. Well, you know, as we're going through, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
But I can't pick the next one because that's...
No, that
yikes,
is...
Yikes.
Yeah.
Okay, this is where it starts to get confusing. So, like, then Triple H and China come out, but instead of helping X-Pac...
Right, yeah. So Test gets involved a couple of times, and then Triple H and China come out. And Triple H looks like he's going to attack Shane, but then he ends up giving a pedigree to X-Pac. And they never... China didn't rejoin DX. Triple H left for the corporation.
Oh, is that what they were, their angle was?
I guess so.
Well, what did China do earlier that...
She helped Triple H against Kane.
That's right, yeah. Okay, but she was really helping. Okay, so this is where it's like, this is too much...
Yeah, it gets confusing. And then the Outlaws come out, Billy Gunn slides across the ring on his own stomach.
And he really does.
He, like, almost slips. If Triple H wasn't there, he would have fallen straight through.
Yeah, you're like...
And then Kane comes out, and it's kind of like, they didn't know how to end this segment, kind of, so they just sent everyone out, I think.
Yep. Yeah, I got that impression. But yeah, you're right. This is going to be my second favorite of the night, because the next one was very cringy.
Yeah, this is... Yeah, first it's... It, like, almost killed the Hell in a Cell, like, match.
The concept?
Yeah, because they didn't do one for another... till December of 2000. Or no, I guess February of 2000.
Okay.
Well, so a year, but still, it was bad.
Yeah. And this is... obviously, we're talking about Undertaker versus Big Boss Man. Hell in a Cell. Like, Boss Man has the janky fake handcuffs.
Yeah, the handcuffs that Undertaker, like, is selling, getting hit with a nightstick and... As soon as he, like, bends down, they snap right in half, so... But the Undertaker's just, like, standing there with his arm next to the fence.
Right, yeah.
And
gotta improv.
Yeah. And, yeah. And, like, if the Boss Man was any good with the nightstick, the Undertaker would have been dead, because he hits him with it, like, 25 times.
Right. So, they typical brawl so far. I mean, the whole Hell in a Cell kind of changes the mobility a little bit.
Yeah, but I think... After the last two Hell in the Cells people are expecting the big bump now.
Right, that's true. So, after Mick Foley launches himself off of it.
Yeah, so for this one to stay in the ringside even the whole time was kind of disappointing right away. And then the action inside the cage was not great at all.
That's true. But then the ending, which got more and more screwed effed up as it went on.
So the Undertaker wins cleanly.
Yeah, Tombstone. Short match, yeah. Yeah. Well, I know about the Undertaker streak, so
yeah.
I knew the Undertaker was going to win.
Well, yeah. This was only like his sixth WrestleMania match. It was pretty clear he was going to win.
Yeah, right. Then the Brood comes, like, repels
down.
Yeah,
the Brood repels down from the ceiling, and they have helpfully stashed a rope there from earlier.
It took a long time.
Yeah, they could have. I think they didn't have the opening wide enough to get the rope in, to get the noose in, because they decide to hang the boss man.
Yeah, that's terrifying. Oh, yeah, Paul Bearer is out there.
Like, streaking. All loving it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they just end with the boss man hanging, and then I think in real time they went to a promo for the QVC shopping headlines that will, you know, store that'll be available right after WrestleMania.
What they sell there, like little.
I think they showed, like, it was like a. I mean, they probably only made one or two of them, so they didn't have to send boxes of them to Nigeria, but, like, Steve Austin or The Rock, who wins the title.
Gotcha. So, yeah, that's a yikes match.
Yeah.
And then we get to our...
And then the next night, the boss man's fine.
Okay, good.
So, but, like...
Well, how'd they do that without him, like, visibly breaking his neck?
I mean, I think there's enough slack.
He kind of tucked his chin in. But, anyways... Yeah, still, like, not great to watch.
Right, yeah. Especially what happens to many wrestlers in the future.
Yeah, right. Not good. Well, yeah, I think we can... If anything, this helps us appreciate how we've evolved. You know, some things are worse, but some things are better.
Yes, yeah.
In the year of our Lord, 2024. Then we have... Yeah, like I said, this, so not to be a downer, but Austin versus Rock, I think I built up a little too much.
Really?
It was really good. Okay. I still liked it, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think
what I was expecting.
I think it's great. It's good. I mean, it's
very good.
And it's the best that they could have right now. Like, it's the two best guys in this company.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's why it's in my head so much. Well, also, right, I think this is... It's funny, because I remember we were watching this, and, like, right before it started, I turned to you. I'm like, what's Shawn Michaels doing? And
this
popped up on the screen.
Yep, Shawn Michaels comes out and dances out and makes Vince McMahon...
A long speech.
Yeah, he goes on a while. He's having Soma kick here pretty bad, I think.
He's what?
His painkiller kick, so he's probably sauced on those.
Yeah, he's still a pretty good speaker, though.
Yeah.
All things considered.
But it kind of drags on longer than necessary.
Wasn't reading the room.
Yeah, so he kicks out Vince McMahon and says no member of the corporation's allowed to get involved. But it's a no DQ match other than that. Which I always love when no DQ matches have DQ rules in them.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah.
Just don't look for internal logic.
No, you can't.
But yeah, this is kind of the not normal, but like, it's like they're running in the crowd.
Yeah,
like going to the announcer table.
It's the WWE main event style.
It is. It's very much 1999. And
yes.
Encapsulated in a 17-minute match.
Yeah. I kind of like the brawling around the arena. I like the... Anytime they go into the big WrestleMania 15.
That's true.
Like the big metal signage.
I think Rockets also
whipped into it.
Wait, what was it? What match did like the Mean Street Posse get beat up?
That was the X-Pac match. That's like, right. X-Pac gets thrown against the barrier against them and they start like trying to attack him. So X-Pac
turns around.
Takes him out.
But it's always hard when they go into the crowd.
Yeah.
Can't really move. Can't really see. But then they do, kind of the normal drama at the end, like the ref gets
Ref gets knocked. Mike Chioda takes a ridiculous chair shot
first
time, and then the Rock is a rock bottom to Tim White, and then Vince comes out.
And Earl Hebner.
Earl, yeah, Earl ends up being there at the end. Eventually you get the Rock.
Yeah.
They each kick out of each other's finishers.
Right.
And then it's the Rock Bottom reversed into a stunner for the win from Mankind counting a nice even three count.
That's right. They get a lot of refs, and then Mankind finally comes back in. So, okay, because we had to talk about that. So Mankind won the match to referee, but Vince decided that he was going
to
referee. Because
Mankind was in the hospital due to the injuries.
Right. Well, then how'd he get out so fast?
Well, he...
takes like 4 hours to get discharged from the hospital.
No, not when you're Mankind.
Okay.
Get some preferential treatment.
Oh, gosh. Wish I could have had some of that. Anyways, I digress. But yeah, so they all kind of show up and the normal drama.
Yep. And in the end, Steve Austin triumphs once again at WrestleMania.
Yes. And of course, the crowd is like losing their
minds. And he ends up like drinking a beer over Vince McMahon to kind of signify the end of this chapter of their feud, at least.
Yeah, like I said, we got to get some fresh
humor. Yeah, and then of course him and Earl Hebner drink a few beers together. And that's kind of a tribute to Earl Hebner, because right before WrestleMania 14 he had like a brain aneurism and almost died, so they were like kind of celebrating him
to be
being back.
And JR was back for this one, right?
Yeah, he comes back for the main event.
Right.
A couple weeks later he comes back full time.
Gotcha.
As the lead announcer.
Gotcha.
And they drop the petty, jealous JR angle.
Yeah. JR seems like he's a good guy.
Yeah.
No.
Now he's kind of getting bitter and old, but that's going to happen.
Just don't post on Facebook.
Yeah, he doesn't. Yeah, he's just kind of a little too horny sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yuck. All right. Yeah. I mean, I think I built this up a little bit more in my head versus just like letting it be what it is.
Interesting.
So I don't know, what was your reaction at the time?
I loved it, thought it was great.
What do you think now?
Still think it's good. I mean, it's hard for them to, because they have so many better matches that are to come. So, but it's not like looking back in the time that it happened, though, that was the best Austin Rock match yet. So far. Yeah, so it's kind of hard to watch it now with
hindsight.
Without the hindsight. Like, not applying
the
hindsight.
It'll never be March of 1999 again.
No, it won't.
What a shame. Okay, well, I mean, number one's obviously for me Austin versus Rock.
Yeah, I think that's...
And you're right, number two is X-Pac versus Shane McMahon. Some airtime.
Oh, yeah.
Let's listen to you.
So, yep. Again, we have...
Is that the same for you?
Yep. It's
been our top two.
Quite similar to the last couple of months. Yeah, I mean, there's not...
Well, that's the thing. There's not a lot of depth.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. There's maybe three good matches, so...
If the head.
It's easy to pick.
Right,
the
exactly.
top two.
Exactly.
Yep. So, let's go to the score sheet then. So, WrestleMania 15... The Raging Climax.
Yeah, obviously. Can I take a point off for the name? Or add a point for the name? Is that your...
That's yours.
Mine?
Yep, your group.
Yeah, I gave them both sevens, and I think they're going to have to stay, I guess, 7.5.
Okay, 7.5, okay.
How about you?
Yeah, I think... I gave Valentine's Day Massacre 7.5.
And relative to that, you like it better?
I don't know if I do, though, because that actually had the two good matches.
Right.
This is one.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
But it's WrestleMania, and as stupid as all the storylines are, like, for the mid-card, at least things are happening, and it's not like a show nowadays where nothing, like, you'll have 4 good hours of good wrestling, but the storylines just are stale, so I'll go 8.
Okay.
I'm also, you know, got to give it the WrestleMania... Half point and
Mystique,
bump.
Yeah. The je ne sais quoi, the jump up factor, right?
So we both have WrestleMania 14 a full point above WrestleMania 15.
You know, let me look back at my WrestleMania
I would agree
14
with that,
notes.
Though.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because that's where, I was just looking earlier, that's where Steve...
Because that's where, like, WrestleMania 15's, a lot of guys just couldn't deliver. WrestleMania 14's where everyone, like, over-delivered.
Yeah, oh, the 30-person
like
tag
the Sable, match. The Sable mixed tag match.
Rock versus Ken Shamrock.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Chainsaw Starley, you're right. This is a lot better.
Yeah. And it's a lot of the same guy. It's not like the talent roster is that much different.
But, right. Well, Terry Funk.
I mean, you don't have Terry Funk, who's
or Mark Mero. Where's Mark Mero?
He was kind of persona non grata, just in the back with Sable.
Oh, we're also forgetting the best national anthem.
Oh yeah, it's Boyz II Men.
Well, no. So 1998, wasn't it the?
Oh right, I see. Oh yeah, yes, DX Band. Yeah, I mean, America the Beautiful and the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah, it was clearly way better in 1998.
The new wave version.
Oh, awful, awful, awful. And then Boyz, I mean Boyz II Men, obviously musical. Yes. Musically sounded much better.
Much
but
more pleasing.
I'm gonna remember the DX Band, I think, more than the
yes
Boyz II Men version. So, yeah. Well, see you
good
later.
Show. WrestleMania, it's generally considered one of the lower WrestleMania. Like, if you were going to rank them all, it's usually towards the bottom.
Yeah, I asked you of all, like, I think I asked you, like, of all the WrestleManias in the 90s, which were your favorite ones? This one's not up there?
Yeah, no, definitely not. I would say probably 91 and 92 were really big. And then 98, just, like, the build to it was bigger than it had been ever. Like, other kids at school actually knew what I was talking about.
When you talked about WrestleMania 1998.
Mm-hmm.
Who did you talk to about with wrestling back then?
Well, like, at this time, no, in, like, 99, it was, like, everyone at school.
Okay.
It was the hot talk.
Yeah, not with me.
But. Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm sure people were, just not me.
I remember, like, the girls had Steve Austin folders.
Really?
Yeah.
Surprised you still don't have a Steve Austin folder.
I really should have kept more.
Pretty sure I still have my Trapper Keeper. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Keep all your files together.
Yeah. Yeah, now it's like I would never want to carry around that much stuff.
Well, yeah, you could just carry your iPad or...
Right, your...
Your MacBook Air.
Your modern-day Trapper Keeper.
Yes, yeah. Sure, you could have like a little app that springs up and like
no, you should have the case of your laptop. Yeah, just like a Trapper Keeper. I'm sure that already exists.
Oh yeah.
So
it's gotta. All right. So WrestleMania 15.
Yeah. All right.
So next time we'll be.
What's next? Yeah.
WWE Backlash.
Okay.
And it would be a name that would stick around for quite a while, for as the like post WrestleMania show.
Oh, Backlash. You mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good as a.
It makes sense. Yeah.
All right.
Well, until then.
Good. We'll look on.
We'll see you there.
Bye.
Emanating from the birthplace of American independence.
We are live at a sold-out First Union Center in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. But tonight, there will be no love in the air.
WrestleMania 15 captured the spirit of 1999.
It doesn't get any bigger or more exciting than this.
What emotion! What electricity!
What the hell is the chicken doing?
Wait a minute!
King, that's Pete Rose!
Pete, not again!
Revenge backfired! Another tombstone to Pete Rose!
Hey, Pete, it's like baseball. There's always next year.
In the spirit of innovation, the WWE introduced a new concept called the Brawl for All.
Bart Gunn with a scintillating knockout!
Bart Gunn battered his way to the final, earning the dubious privilege of squaring off against super heavyweight boxing champion Butterbean.
He's 43-1-1. He's the IBA super heavyweight champion.
I'm training to knock him out.
Gunn was the biggest underdog in Philly since Rocky Balboa, but this Rocky had no Hollywood ending.
Oh, there's the right hand, folks. It's over. Goodbye. It's over. Butterbean with a first-round knockout of Bart Gunn.
In 1999, Mr. McMahon was a decade ahead of his time. McMahon's unregulated power turned to unbridled corporate corruption. He bought The Rock.
The corporate champion!
The former people's champ was raising eyebrows and dropping elbows for cash. There was only one hope to end this crisis.
And the rattlesnake is ready! This crowd is jacked! What a rivalry! What competition! Man, this is a war! This is a war!
There would be no corporate bailout this time.
Ah! The starter! The starter! No! Austin wins! Austin wins! Austin wins! Stone Cold is the man!
Austin delivered the chairman of the board's WrestleMania bonus personally.
Stone Cold! Death McMahon!
In the city of brotherly love, the power of one was realized at WrestleMania 15.
The Rattlesnake rules! The Rattlesnake rules again!